Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, it's a sharp look.
Hey, so let's actually speak about the outfit that I want to hear about. Slipping into the Moon Man costume. You know, they chose to make it real.
I would not describe it as slipping into it. More like wedged and stuffed and squeezed into it.
Oh, man. Okay, last question. I'm just going to say two words for you. I want your reaction. Midnight Suns. Is that anything to you?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's like an amazing run of comics, and it's it'd be a cool group to see, wouldn't it?
Hell yeah.
Phase Zero, Season 2, Episode 11 starts now. Welcome to the show. I want to start the show with a little surprise. Get you all your daily dose of Oscar. I know this comment section loves Oscar Isaac, so you got the content you wanted. I'm Brandon Davis, joined today by Jim Viscardi.
What's up?
We got Jenna Anderson.
Hey, everybody.
And we got Aaron Perrine.
What's going on, everybody?
What's going on is Jim. Jim was like just had his Super Bowl last night. That's what's going on. Jim got to go to the Moon Knight premiere. He got to meet Moon Knight himself. He actually, right before it ended, it was crazy. Security, he tried to take the Moon Knight costume. He put it on his shoulder, and it looked like a streaker at the Super Bowl. Like just getting laid out by security. No, that didn't actually happen, Disney. Don't come for us. But if it did, you would believe it. But yeah, Jim, what'd you think of last night? Let's talk about the Moon Knight premiere.
I got to meet the internet's boyfriend, which was pretty fantastic. I think the moment for me was actually seeing those costumes in person. Like the fact, that was the thing that we talked about with a few folks that night, right? Like Spider-Man's entire costume is all CGI, and yet there is the actual Moon Knight costume right there for you to legitimately touch. And we got great photos of it yesterday. Like the sun was perfect. The weather was perfect. It was a perfect day.
It just looked, I mean, the costume looked unbelievably good, and it looked like easy to move in, to be honest. Like it was just, oh man, I don't know.
Yeah.
They've had costumes out there before, and they had the Hawkeye costumes at the Hawkeye premiere and stuff. And I've seen like the Black Panther costume thing. Like they just look weird when there's not a person in them, which is not the fault of the costume. They're just made to expand when a person is into it. And Moon Knight just looked more like a person, I guess, without anybody in it. I think they had a mannequin under it or something. It just looked really, really cool.
It was cool that there were a lot of details that you could see up close that you couldn't necessarily see in the trailers or even in the show, right? Like the fact that there's, Egyptian hieroglyphs on the inside of his cape, that's actually what the silver kind of streaks are in there. The detail that are on the moon daggers or on Mr. Knight's, staffy things are just all cool little touches. And like the fact that you see it a bit, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in, when the episodes come up, when we first meet Mr. Knight, the texture on that suit is next level. Absolutely next level. So I think like this is, that to me was the moment that made it real. And then the fact that, obviously we got to talk to Ethan, we got to talk to Oscar, we got to talk to, May, it was great to see.
Yeah,
the energy on the carpet.
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know the name of the costume designer. I want to give her a shout out. Megan Casper, like, designed the Moon Knight costume. So I just pulled that up because if we're going to rave about her work, we should tell everybody who did
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Megan Casper also did The Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh.
So that's cool. The Dark Knight Rises.
Wow.
So, and also some non-comic book movies like Joy, Ocean's 8, American Hustle. American Hustle, wow, those were some costumes. That's an impressive resume. All right, but yeah, no, those costumes I think were pretty much one of the most astounding things to see. The line was, I was getting a little nervous at first. We were getting a lot of actors who are in things that aren't released yet. Like a lot of the Miss Marvel cast was there and they were super fun to talk to. And we were getting a lot of supporting cast from Moon Knight who are playing parts, like some of which are not even in the first four episodes. So I was like, I don't even know what to talk about. Like, oh my gosh. So right before the screening was supposed to start, like Oscar Isaac was like four outlets down from us. Mm-hmm. And then Ethan Hawke was like three outlets down from us. Mohamed Diab was like two outlets down from us. And I was like, I don't know if we're going to get these guys. Like, this is, we need, like, these are the biggest names here. We're not going to get them. And they went and took their photo, like their cast photo, and the publicists were all like, oh, they'll come back, they'll come back, they'll come back. And I mean, when you hear that and you're working red carpet, you're just like, it's a wrap. Like, they're not, they never come back. And Jim and I packed up, and it, like, Screen Rant was next to us. Our friend Ash Crossan was right next to us. We all started packing up. We were like, it's done. Everybody was, and then they came back. I couldn't believe it. For the first time in the history of a red carpet, they actually came back. And Jim, did you get anything cool when they came back? Come on. This is your show, Jim.
I mean, yeah. I mean, look, we got the photo. We got the photo, mm-hmm. which was great. I mean, it was, he was super cool. He was super chill about it, which was just, you know, which was fun. You know, like, that's the thing, right? Like, it feels really weird that there is, like, we are this close to a Moon Knight of all things getting a show released to the world in just a week. Right. Like, that's, like, to me is still just like, what the hell? Right. Like, it's just so crazy because, you know, Brandon and I were talking about this earlier, right? Like, you know, I've been a long time Moon Knight fan. Right. And so, when you get movies like The Avengers and Iron Man, things like that, like, you know, there's a long list of characters that they could have picked before they ever got to Moon Knight. And so the fact that, like,
I mean, they did. They picked all of them. I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah. I mean, so, it was really, really, really cool to see it come to, you know, fruition in the way that it did, it's just awesome. Like, I'm excited. I'm just more excited to get everyone else to see it so we can talk about it because it's, I really enjoy it. Like, I know we can't, like, do, like, full review on stuff, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but, like, I really enjoy the show. Like, fanboy aside, right, like, the show is actually very good.
Yeah. Jenna, is She-Hulk, like, your Moon Knight?
Oh, definitely. Like, She-Hulk and Black Canary and Batgirl are probably my three, where it is just, like, that it is just surreal to see them spotlighted in that sort of way. But yeah, I am, like, I'm riding the high of Jim's serotonin right now and just knowing, like, if I get a fraction of that for She-Hulk, I'm going to be, like, over the moon. So this is just so much fun to hear you guys talk about it.
Aaron, who is your, like, the one character?
Man, I don't even know. Like, I feel like Amino Hassan after, like, the Cavs won the championship. He's like, I've never seen someone so happy. Like, he's like, we'd have to win the World Cup, like, to be as happy as Jim is right now. And that's, like, phenomenal to, like, just be here for. I was getting ready, my girlfriend asked me, like, about, like, is Jenna going to act like this around She-Hulk? I'm like, 100%. 1,000%. Go ahead and knock it down right now. It's going to happen.
I can't wait for the She-Hulk premiere.
It's going to be so good. See, okay, and yes, for those of you who are asking.
There it is. I love it. Jim Viscardi and Moon Knight himself with Moon Knight number one. Jim brought out Moon Knight number one. So I had to put that in my bag so that, because I had, like, a little bag with the wires, microphone and stuff in it. And I was like, Jim, I feel a lot of responsibility. You sure? You? He was like, yeah, I'll do it. He said, it's just one of my, it's my low grade copy.
It's my beater copy.
It's my beater copy. He has more than one Moon Knight number one. I have more than one Nova number one. But Jim, how many do you have?
I have four.
I don't have four.
I legitimately picked all of them up when they were in at conventions for like $3 a pop. So like, they just happen to now be worth something.
Yeah. I think my first Moon Knight or Nova that I bought was like $40 at Comic-Con, the first Nova number one. And now it's like $300.
Wow.
Chris Killian got me a higher grade copy for my birthday.
I almost contemplated bringing the issue that I was actually in. So when we talked to the directors or the writer, be like, hey, here's a character that you may want to just, you know, for season two, maybe. Because, our schedules didn't work out, but like, I'll be ready for it this time.
Yeah, you did all that and you didn't ask to be in the burger joint in season two. What's wrong with you?
Tell you right now, Nova comes along. I'm burning. I'm knocking down Feige's door, telling him I need to be in there.
I still have time to annoy James Gunn to get the Viscardi into Guardians 3, just as a mention, right? Like, there's plenty of time.
We didn't get Kevin Feige last night. I got a fist bump from Feige as he walked by. He didn't stop for an interview. I was kind of, I'm no longer a Marvel fan. I've been a season long ticket holder and I'm no longer renewing my, he didn't do any interviews yesterday, but he did have a cool Moon Knight hat on. And so when we got to the premiere, we went to the press check-in. We'd go get COVID tested. We had to go through this whole process of everything to get into our spot on the carpet, which was separate from, I guess, Will Call, where you pick up tickets for the premiere. I didn't know that. So we did the whole carpet. We were out there for like 2 hours. Premiere starts. We're about 10 minutes late to the premiere because we had to break everything down and pack up and everything. And we go to walk in and they're like, do you have tickets? And I'm like, we have tickets. We just didn't physically
have our bracelets.
Tickets. We didn't pick them up because we went to the press check-in. And so we couldn't get in. What we didn't know, we gave up. We were like, we already saw the episodes. Okay. Like, you know, I think the Disney reps are busy. We don't like want to bother them to try to get into this thing. What we didn't know was that everybody got Moon Knight hats on the way out. Oh. Jim didn't get a Moon Knight hat. Jim, are you okay?
No.
Everybody, no.
I'm not even a little bit okay. The only saving grace is that I got the photo with Oscar.
And yeah, that is.
I mean, if you had to pick one,
look, no one else got that. Nobody else got that.
Well, I know one other person, maybe.
Well, right. But that's what I mean.
Before we move on to reactions to Moon Knight, which we're going to hear from Jenna and Aaron, their thoughts about the show, I did want to shout out Kevin Graham and his son. Kevin Graham's son plays hockey, and he sent us a tweet with a photo of the back of his hockey jersey. They drew the Phase Zero logo on it, and I think that's amazing. And they listen to our show together every day. That they travel out for the hockey tournaments. And I think it is so cool. And also, like, somebody named Haley sent us a tweet that showed us, told us how much fun she has listening to the show. The fact that you guys listen to us, that you're listening to us as a family, and you're sharing how much joy it brings to you guys to have fun geeking out about Marvel with all of us. I just wanted to send some love to you guys. Kevin, Haley, Kevin's son. Wait, was Kevin's son on the tweet? I have the tweet here, his name. I want to say shout out his son. Kevin, I don't know your son's name, but Kevin's son and Kevin, you're both awesome. And congrats on second place in the tournament. Next time you'll get that gold trophy. And I'm excited for you, but thank you so much for listening. But let's move on to Moon Knight reactions. Jenna, you got to see, I was annoying. I said, I need the rest of the Phase Zero crew to see this show. So I'm not the only one talking about it. We were able to get Jenna and Aaron the episodes. Jenna, you saw the first four. What did you think?
Oh, I really enjoyed them. Like, they surprised me in so many ways. I'm trying to think of like what to say, because this is one of the few times I've done the like reacting without the review embargo breaking. So this is kind of like a weird needle to thread.
Yeah.
I think that I had seen so many tweets from people, you guys included, that was like, this is like nothing else in the MCU. And I was like, I feel like every single person is saying that. I'll just wait and see. And then it was like, yeah, this is really like nothing else in the MCU. Tone and like ways that it is just this really interesting story and this really interesting like character study. I tweeted in my reactions, this is the like most strong and most compelling character introduction that I feel like we've had in the MCU since like phase one. Like, I feel attached to Moon Knight as a character in a degree that I felt like when I first saw Steve Rogers for the first time. And I think Oscar's performance is just unreal. Like, he, I cannot imagine anybody else understanding the assignment to the degree that he does. And it makes this show so much fun to watch. And like the little surprises that are in store and the meme level content of like, there are so many moments that I know are going to get screenshotted and shared around on Twitter. And I'm like ready to save so many of them onto my phone. Like, there's one bit in the first episode where I'm like, this is just a mood and I'm going to use this reaction image all the time. So I think it's great. I agree with Jim. I'm so excited to see everybody else like see these episodes and start responding to them because they are just so wild.
What was your favorite episode of the four?
I liked episode four. I mean, like, I liked the first episode and I thought it established a lot of things really well, but then episode four is where they like kind of really turn into something that is really fascinating to watch. Like, I'm so excited to see five and six, and I hate that we have to wait so long to see five and six because it's like
we're the victims here.
I know, I know.
We are not the privileged few. We are the victims who had to see four, yep. And now we have to wait. But really, no, that four is so crazy that you. It's always four with the MCU shows, you know.
It really is, though. Yeah.
But yeah, I feel you. I agree. Waiting for five and six is killing me. I'm so curious to see what people think of this show when they're watching it week to week, because watching four in a row, like episodes two and three, like I said, it plays like a movie with, and that means like, it's not nearly as episodic as say like The Mandalorian, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it's very much a story that goes through the whole thing. And like, I guess there are arcs to the episode, but not as thoroughly as the overarching story arc. So I'm curious to see how it plays. Like, and if people, react as strongly as we have having binged four versus seeing only 1 hour, 50 minutes at a time. Aaron, what'd you think?
Oh, I had a good time. I had a real good time. I think you're right about like getting all four of them definitely benefiting you. Like, as far as, you know, sort of like understanding the narrative and like having that sort of propulsion through the story, you know, cause it really does like get to galloping like real fast into the run. I think I've grown more of an appreciation for the surrounding cast of Moon Knight through the show way more than I thought I would. Like, you can't say a whole lot. I love Khonshu. I love Khonshu. That's just where I'm going to leave it. I'm like, oh, I did not think I would vibe with this because I've had like, you know, sort of prior experience in the comics with run-ins with like Spider-Man or whatever other, and then the delightful time anytime. Now I'm like severely looking forward to it. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon at all. If it does, him and the Punisher in the same room is going to be hysterical if it happens. Oscar is so good at this. Like, I don't think people are really prepared for that.
Stephen Grant is just such a little posh boy. Stephen Grant is just such a little, we're going to get chopped. Okay, like he's so good. You love both characters for such different reasons. That's how good Oscar is.
Oh my God.
Nobody's talking about Ethan Hawke though.
He's terrifying.
He's Ethan amazing.
He may very well be the best Disney Plus villain Marvel has had yet.
Oh, by
unsettling.
Far.
Like, yes. He is unsettling, which is
first,
like,
I'm not going to spoil anything.
Yeah.
This show comes out swinging from the first scene.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, you all know what I'm talking about. And everybody who's watching will know what I mean. It opens in a way like no other Disney show from like none of the Marvel Studios shows have. And it really shows you like, we're not, this one's not a light show.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's the other thing I was going to say is there's a surprising amount of blood in this show in a way that I wasn't anticipating. That like, it's not, you know, gratuitous or whatever. Right. But like, there's some in there. Like, I think just like, tonally sets the show apart. But like, you know, like you said, like, I think, you know, Ethan Hawke is you just unsettling as the villain here. And to see it all come together, like even with Aaron's, right? Like the surrounding cast, the supporting cast of this show, help you understand what is going on with Moon Knight, Mark Spector and Stephen Grant and everything in between. The interesting thing is that this show, at least in the first four episodes, tonally is more like the Jeff Lemire run than any than anything else, which I think like everyone was basically expecting, like either Ellis or OG stuff or whatever. Like the Lemire stuff is phenomenal. I think Marvel just put like just collected the entire run in a trade that like they think they just put it out last week. And I, if you have the means to go out and get it and run it, because not only is it one of the best runs on of the series, but like I think it will deepen your appreciation of the story that they're telling here. Moon Knight, you know, I don't think it's a spoiler to say or too revealing to say this is not a one-to-one adaptation of anything. Marvel doesn't do that, and so anyone's like, people who are just like, they change too much, they have not been watching the MCU for the last 20 years, because they literally have made big sweeping changes. Not that there's big sweeping changes here, but there are changes here.
You heard this last night. Jeremy Slater, the writer, is an interview we're gonna have up on Comic Book maybe today, maybe like later this week, but like he made the Batman comparison. And he explained why, like, that's a big reason why they changed Stephen Grant. He was just like, well, if one of them's a billionaire by day and like a, you know, mercenary who beats people up by night, he's like, that's too close to Batman for me. I wanted to change that. And I was like, well, I mean, Jim, the Moon Knight, like mega fan, really likes the Stephen Grant we get in the show, which is different from Stephen Grant.
The Stephen Grant we get in the show is so much more personable. I think, and way more accessible for a fan in general to just kind of like latch onto. And I think that's like, I think that's what the beauty of the show is, and more so the interplay between, you know, Steven and Mark is just great. And then like, you have all that, you have all this great character work. You combine that with the landscape that this takes place on, right? Like you're going on a wild adventure ride, like through Egypt, basically, you know, in these first four episodes. That is so much fun.
Well, Jim, you're going back to jail shortly. So I hope you've enjoyed this run, but, in the vein of it never being enough, I do have to pose the question, will this lead to Midnight Suns? And I hope the answer is yes. So there was a rumor going around that came out from a site called The Illuminati this week that a Midnight Suns is on the way. But, you know, it is, right?
The theory that I thought, like, if anything... I think everyone expects this to be a movie. I think Midnight Suns will probably end up being like a maxi series, because I don't think there's a way you'd do this as a movie if you get there.
When the Avengers is a movie,
it's going to be. I mean, one, Midnight Suns is inevitable, right? Like, just with the pieces are already basically in place. There's no way that Marvel is going to let Ghost Rider sit on the sidelines for much longer. Like that.
That's what I was going to say. Ghost Rider is like the missing piece for this roster. You need a Ghost Rider. What?
He is in. He's in the wings. Like,
do you think it's Gabriel Luna? If they do a Midnight Suns, do you think they're gonna recast and reboot?
I mean, you can do. That's the thing with Ghost Rider. You can do both. You can have Gabriel Luna, and you can have Johnny Blaze. You can have Johnny Blaze, and you can have Robbie Reyes, who will be the main Ghost Rider in the MCU. I think that's still TBD. But I'd love to see both. I mean, I'd love to see Gabriel Luna return.
I didn't watch all of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I really like Gabriel Luna as a person. And I think he's good, so I'm down with him coming back. But I mean, okay, so who's on the roster for Midnight Suns? You got Moon Knight, Charlie Cox, Daredevil. I want to see Punisher in there. I want to see Ghost Rider. Scarlet Witch could be in there. That's what the rumor says.
Yeah.
But I think the value of Wanda, so they'll throw her in a project. She sells.
We're getting that Werewolf by Night special, exactly. so you can throw Werewolf by Night there.
I feel like Blade has to be in there.
Oh, Blade will be.
Yeah.
Aaron, you got any thoughts on this before we move on?
I was just going to say that there is some ground like building. Like, they made this big stink about this in this weird press release thing that me and Jamie had to like hack into the dark web to go find last weekend to write about for the site, where they kept saying that it's not related to the current MCU. Like, it's completely and utterly separated. And for the most part, that is true. But my favorite episode, episode three, probably. And episode three, to me, I've spoken, I think, to both Jim and Brandon about this behind the scenes. I feel like that has some stuff for either your Midnight Suns hypothesis, possibly, or other things that the fandom has been yelling about that I cannot say under threat of sniper fire. So
Brandon actually asked those questions, asked that question, that one specifically, to some of the folks during the junket yesterday. So we'll see some of the answers there. Basically, you'll see.
Yeah, you have to read the site. Read the site.
Yeah, have to read the site.
Also, we were all forgetting Black Knight because everyone in the comments is reminding us.
Yeah,
it's like we don't have him in meeting at the end of Eternals to not be building to that in some way.
Yeah. Midnight Suns maybe on the way, hopefully. All right. That's enough Moon Knight for today. If you guys want to talk more about Moon Knights, throw your questions. Maybe we'll circle back to it at the end of the show. Right now, we're switching gears to another Marvel thing starting with an M that we, you know, have to talk about. It is called Morbius. And we did an interview with Jared Leto, Morbius himself. We're going to play that. Then we're going to take a quick break and talk about what universe is Morbius set in, because I've seen the movie and I'm still not even sure. So let's roll the Morbius interview and take a quick break. See you in a sec.
Hey, what's up, dude? Welcome to the Marvel world.
Well, thank you very much, my friend. I appreciate the warm welcome.
We know you love a transformation, dude. You've had some incredible roles throughout your career. I want to start with Morbius. What was it? Was it a mental transformation, physical transformation? What was the biggest challenge of Marvel Vampire?
It was a little bit of both. I mean, it's kind of like a chicken and the egg there, you know, that the physical informs the mental and the mental informs the physical. And, you know, this was just a perfect opportunity for me, not only to, you know, I got a chance to bring this character to the big screen for the very first time. And I have to say, it's an absolute f-ing honor to do that.
Yeah.
It's harder and harder to find a character that hasn't been, you know, portrayed before. And the fact that this character is, you know, coming to screens the very first time, April 1st, I'm incredibly excited about that. And the other thing that I loved is that you have this transformative performance inside of this, you know, big Marvel movie, and that there are kind of three characters in one here. That was it was perfectly suited for me and what I'm interested in.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Now for the rest of your life, you get to answer questions about Joker and Morbius.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, a really fun thing to be able to do.
Yeah. When you first heard about him and you went and Google searched the character, or maybe already were familiar with him, like your introduction to the character, what was kind of the coolest thing you found about him? And did you ever pitch the little suckers on the hands from the animated series?
The suckers on the hand that haunted people's childhood. Yes. You know, what I loved a lot is the artwork, and that was actually really inspiring, because of course you have the writers and the stories, the comics, but I feel like the artists too created their own stories with the visuals. And, you know, I really spent a lot of time with the art of Morbius, and they're just some beautiful art all the way back to the 70s. And that really inspired and informed the character quite a bit.
Oh yeah. And you and Daniel, the work you put into this, I think there's a few freeze frames that are going to be beautiful little screensavers on people's backgrounds, but there's some nice work in there. There are sequences on set where your character needs blood to survive. So he ends up kind of like scarfing down both artificial blood bags, and human blood bags. What was Jared Leto on the day having to kind of ingest to portray the scene?
You know what? I have no idea. Thankfully I blocked it out, but a lot of times, you know, the blood is actually corn syrup a lot of times. So you just have a mouth of corn syrup and food dye, I think, you know, but the blue blood as well was something completely different. I think someone whipped up something in the back, you know, hopefully it wasn't, too putrid, but, there was a lot of that on set, and so a wild one.
Now, there's also plenty, obviously, with every Marvel movie, there's plenty of Easter eggs and references to like Spider-Man villains that you kind of can be blink and you miss them in this one. And there's, you drop the line of I am Venom. And I'm curious, when you see Easter eggs like that in set or in the script, do you ask questions about them the same way we do?
Well, no, because I improvised that line on the set that day. And, you know, there was a lot of that, and it's really fun to do. And yeah, it just seemed like, you know,
yeah,
it just kind of came out in the moment, and we ended up using it, and I'm glad that people have fun with it and the way that we did. Yeah.
Nice. And my last thing for you, the question doesn't seem to be if you will come to face Spider-Man at one point as Morbius. I think the question is, which Spider-Man will you come to face? Have you pondered whether it's Tom, Andrew, or Toby that Morbius ever squares up?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll take them all, my friend. I'll take them all. I'm not scared. But I have to say, there's something about Tom Holland's Spider-Man and Morbius being a new chapter in the universe that seems quite fitting. And I would love to see them get in the ring with one another, these two characters. And I think Tom's just done a phenomenal job, and he's a great actor, and he just brings a lot of energy and humor to the role. That's great. Yeah.
He's just taking over the world. It's crazy. But yeah, Now it's Morbius' turn, dude. I can't wait for everybody to see this movie. Thank you so much for the time, Jared, and congrats. Brother,
thank you. I wish I could reach into that glove and just give a little just to end the interview here.
What a way to go out, dude. Well, thank you, dude. It's great talking to you.
See you, brother. Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to Phase Zero, Season 2, Episode 11. Jim Viscardi is back in his jail cell, where he belongs, for stealing my comic book photo with Oscar Isaac. Now, I hope everybody enjoyed hearing from Jim today. I think it's really fun when you like have somebody whose favorite character approves of what we're getting. But we're back to Morbius. Jared, thank you to Sony and Jared Leto for that interview. We have one more clip from the Morbius interviews coming up, because I want to talk about what universe Morbius set in. Here's the thing. Like, I asked Jared, do you think you're going to face Tom, Toby, or Andrew? And it just seems like Tom might not be the answer. Even though he keeps saying Tom in all the interviews, Sony seems to be building their universe of Spider-Man characters, which is going to have Madame Web. It already has Venom. It's going to have Kraven the Hunter. And that's not in the MCU, like the main MCU. I know it's all canon because of the multiverse, but when I say MCU, like that means like the main, whatever the 616 of whatever Earth the MCU number is. So I'm so confused.
You can see it on your face. You're just like very, very, very fraught about this. There's just every time BD tries to solve one of these mysteries, another three of them come up like the
Hydra. I can just see the steam coming out of your ears trying to figure this out. And the fact that you're feeling that way after you've seen the movie. Like, I have not seen the movie. Aaron has not. Like, the fact that you are still feeling that way makes me kind of worried and more confused going into this, because it's like, oh, cool, there must not be a clear answer.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to say anything about the movie basically almost until the movie comes out. Mm-hmm. Like, told us we're holding off on sentiment and reviews and everything for what is today? Like another week. So
Can't say anything about it, but I am still wondering, like, where are we? What universe is this? Is it the Venomverse? Is it the Spider-Man? I don't know.
The director said that there is a Spider-Man in the universe, too, like in an interview 2 days ago. He's like, there's definitely a Spider-Man. It definitely exists. Like, there is a thing. I think he might have even said the word spider totem, which, of course, everyone's like, like Spider-Verse. Spider totems, the crossover from the comics, and I'm like, we're so far away from spider totems. Like, I don't know if he was supposed to say that or not, but it was crazy.
The whole Sony and Marvel Studios differences really kind of is weird to me. Like, I know some people love the Venom movies. I don't. So I think some people are happy we get those. Like, I remember when Fox had X-Men, it was like, well, we wouldn't have got all these movies. It wasn't for Fox. I'm like, that makes sense. But right now it's getting confusing. And I'm curious, but I would love to be a fly on the wall to hear what's going on behind the scenes. Like, are they collaborating? Like, does Marvel Studios and Sony actually really play super nice? Are they kind of starting to grow apart? I really don't know. I'm not trying to start a conversation because I don't really know. I only can speculate, and I don't really like speculating. Sometimes people take it as like, I know something. And in this case, I just don't. But there is obviously the common conversation, I think we've had it on this show, was that when they delayed the movie to April 1st, that they went and reshot some stuff because they wanted to add somebody or something or something. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying I asked the director about it, and Daniel Espinosa had quite a bit to say about whether they went back to work this year. So we actually have a clip of it that we're going to premiere here right now. This movie has been through a lot of delays because of 2020 and 2021. And then ultimately we have finally landed on April 1st when it looked like maybe a little earlier this year, we're going to get that. Now, some fans, myself included, speculated after Spider-Man No Way Home came out, you guys might've been adding something. Did that time give you an opportunity to add anything to the film that you can share anything? Did you guys go back to work?
Yeah, no, but I mean, yes and no, you know, because the idea of the kind of parallel universes was really introduced not into the kind of Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it was introduced within cinema, if you'd call it, in Spider-Verse, which was released by Sony and, you know, produced by Avi Arad, who also produced Morbius. So the concept of, you know, of starting to work with, you know, parallel kind of verses was something that existed prior to the Spider-Man movie. And it's also been something that has existed for years in comic books. You know, us who read comic books, we knew about it, you know, for like 15 or 20 years, you know, as soon as the kind of clone area died with Spider-Man, you know, the verses kind of took a hold. And so, but when Spider-Man came, there were certain kind of visual elements of how those kind of transitions looked like that were informative.
Everybody watching the live stream did not hear a word that man just said because Aaron was so funny doing that. Aaron was dumb. I'm looking.
Yeah, the Megamind meme. Thank you so much, Aaron. That was delightful.
Listen, the bottom line here is that it seems like they did in fact go back to work after Spider-Man No Way Home at theaters. I don't know what they did. Genuinely, I don't know what they did. Like, I'm not even playing dumb or keeping secrets. I don't know what they went back and did. I am hoping we can get Daniel Espinosa on the podcast. I think we might be recording something with him next week. It's not locked in yet, but I'm hoping we can, because I think that there's a lot of fun information to get out of that. Like, what I'm just curious, like, I mean, obviously there's going to be story points of Morbius I want to talk to him about, but I'm really curious if he will be kind of candid with us and talk about, you know, working within the studio's preferences of making a universe and what he wanted to do, how it changed over the course of the years, what Spider-Man No Way Home impacted about Morbius and its placement in whatever universe it's in. So, yeah, but nobody in the comment section here has any idea what he said because we're all laughing at Aaron. he basically said, you know, we went to make sure some visual things matched with No Way Home, and we did change a couple things. So it seems that maybe they just didn't see No Way Home until it hit theaters. I don't know. They're all in the same studio, though. But yeah, so that's us just putting our tinfoil hats on. That Daniel Espinosa interview, I believe we're going to have a Phase Zero YouTube channel coming up real soon. Just its own dedicated channel. I'm happy to announce that. I've been teasing it for the past couple weeks because I didn't know if it was going to be official. Right now, we're just working out the final details on how to get the channel off the ground. So we're going to be focusing on the live streams over there and getting all our interviews in one place. That's all Marvel all the time, all MCU stuff. And because we get a lot of great content, I want you all to be able to find it really easily. And so in addition to finding it easily on podcast platforms, which you should be leaving 5-star reviews on, thank you very much. We will have a YouTube channel where you can leave thumbs up for everything we do and tell us you love us. But that's enough Moon Knight. That's enough Morbius. Let's talk about some MCU news. We still got two more things to cover today.
Okay. So we got Nick Fury talking about being in three projects, possibly. Sam Jackson talking to the Happy Sad Confused pod. You look at Brandon. Very, very intrigued, like all of you should be. He said, when I was in London just now, it was Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and the Marvels was happening, and we were getting ready to do Secret Invasion. So it was like three Marvel movies on one lot. It was kind of a lot to be running around from place to place. So we did not know, or we did not hear about him being anywhere around Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. I guess everybody assumed he would be in the Marvels because of how much he was in Captain Marvel and how much he, like, you know, has that relationship with Carol. And then, of course, Secret Invasion. That's the Samuel L. Jackson showcase piece, from what we understand, because we don't know anything else about the movie. All we got is like three images, or the series, in fact. So is it strange that he would pop up in all three of these, or at least in Ant-Man and the Wasp, which we also don't know anything about, like, at all?
I mean, maybe he's just sending out scrolls to act on his behalf like he already has.
Mm-hmm. Which means, Kevin Feige ever said to you that Samuel Jackson's been off world for a year, Brandon, I don't know what you're talking about. We all lose it.
That would be perfect.
Samuel Jackson is one of those actors, I think, who is immune to Kevin Feige's silver bullets. Mm-hmm. He's so Samuel Jackson that it just doesn't apply. He can go, he can go talk, and he knows that like he's one mother effer away from he could say whatever he wants. He almost got an F word into the MCU, but then he got snapped. So I think Sam Jackson has such a career that nobody's stopping him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's cool that he's going to show up in a lot of things. I love it when it's all connected and we see actors show up. The one I'm most curious about is Ant-Man and the Wasp, though.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, narratively how that's going to factor in, because like you said, we know nothing about this movie. So it's like I could think of like half a dozen different ways that Nick Fury could factor into this movie with like Kang and Young Avengers and Avengers just in general. So the idea of him being in there at all is like cool. I just have no idea what that would actually be, or like how extensive it would be as a cameo.
Right. It could be a young Nick Fury.
Oh. Oh,
maybe they're time traveling.
True.
I could see that.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Because, we know so little about it. There's like one little set video that we've seen, and like that's it. That's the whole thing. I think Emma Jacqueline pointed out Kevin Feige's worst nightmare is just him and Patrick Stewart on a press tour together. They're just going to say what they want to say.
And Alfred Molina.
Alfred Molina. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The three of them could not care about the NDAs.
Mm-mm. I love how we just know who the spoiler people are.
Yeah.
And it comes in waves. Like, it's not Tom or Mark Ruffalo anymore. They got, I don't know, one of their family members was taken. They said, we know where they live. But that's not true. Their family member wasn't taken. I'm just making jokes. So a lot of Nick Fury in the near future. Quantumania, like, wrapped, right?
I don't know.
Well, I think they reshoot. Maybe they're doing reshoots or something.
Yeah, I think so.
It's way further in the can than some of the stuff that's coming out this year, at least from what we've reported and what we've seen. Which is,
I think that was going to be a visual effects like monster.
Yeah,
the quantum realm. You know.
Yeah.
All right, we got one more bit here to talk about before the end of the show. If you guys have questions, drop them in now. I'll start writing them down while Jenna runs through this last bit.
Yeah, so going back to the Sony universe and the movies that are being put out and how they could factor into the MCU or not, we got another Madam Web-related casting last week. Sydney Sweeney, who is from Euphoria and The White Lotus, has been cast in a mystery role. Nobody knows who she's playing. I wrote a whole article that was running down the possibilities. I know one of the most popular theories initially was that she's Black Cat, and then that has kind of morphed into, like, what if she's Gwen Stacy or Spider-Gwen? I like entertain both of those possibilities. I also think she could be Charlotte Witter, who is the granddaughter of the original Madame Web. So if you were trying to craft just like a very standard self-contained Madame Web movie, she could kind of be a villain that would make sense. She can like siphon spider powers from people. So that could be something that could play in really well. But we know so little of this movie that anytime people are like, she's Batcat, she's Silver Sable, she's Jackpot because she dyed her hair red lately. It's like, you know what? I honestly could see that. Like anything feels possible. But if I had to bet money, I would probably bet on Charlotte. But who knows at this point? What do y'all think?
I would love to see Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Spider-Gwen in live action. We've seen Gwen Stacy. Mm-hmm. But... I've seen Spider-Gwen.
I mean, yeah, she's had such a big couple of years that it doesn't seem like you would bring her in for something like, you know, like something without any name recognition, at least is where I is coming from.
But it's Sony.
Yeah. You just don't know. I mean, they could have been like, man, that girl can barf. Let's bring her in. Like, you have any idea. Euphoria fans in the comments. None of them.
I mean, Michelle Williams had like 5 minutes in Venom.
Yeah, and Woody Harrelson was kind of only in the one movie and then was kind of wasted. So I would not put it past them to just have her be like Charlotte and she is just a villain for one movie and then she moves on. I personally selfishly would want that because I actually want her to play Power Girl in the DC side. And if she's playing Spider-Gwen or some bigger character, then she's going to kind of be locked down for the next couple of years.
You'd be a badass Power Girl.
Yeah, she would be really cool.
She looks like Power Girl.
That is my like big fan cast for her. Like if I had to pick, it would definitely be her. But honestly, we're winning having her in a superhero thing to begin with. So if she's playing somebody just in one movie or if she's playing somebody who is more significant, I'm excited either way.
Here for it. All right, y'all. Well, that's our show. That is our Wednesday, March 23rd show. Next week, we'll be talking all about Moon Knight with full spoilers because you will have seen it. All of you will see the first episode. And we will have to stop keeping secrets and we can finally just talk about Moon Knight episode one. I did ask the Moon Knight producer where the Thor Love and Thunder trailer is. And he said, ask Kevin.
Wow.
So, I don't know. I said, I'm not going to say anything. I don't know. But all right. Well, that is our show today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for Phase Zero, live from this Los Angeles setting for myself and Jim Viscardi, who is now back over here.
People were in the chat and were like, I can see an elbow or a knee. Yeah, Brandon, I'm so confused. And it was like, yep, that's Jim.
Jenna, any parting words for today's show?
Follow me on Twitter at Hey, it's Jenna Lynn, and go read some comics. There's some good comics out this week. So
I love that. I love that you shout out the comic shops every week. Aaron.
What's up, guys? I'm at Summit Lake Hornet. Another great show. And now me and BD have to figure out how to interview Harry Styles because he has a freaking album coming out. What is it? May 20th. We need to find a way to go talk to him about a Turtles, Brandon.
Sure Harry watches this show every week. Harry, dude, you just tell us. Just come on the show. Come on,
me and Olivia Wilde just like curl up on the couch and just put on our show.
You heard it here first.
Yep.
And the last thing I wanted to also Phil and a couple people in the comments were asking when we have the Phase Zero YouTube channel, we're not going to be on Twitch anymore. We'll still be on Twitch. I'm just going to focus on building the YouTube channel because I think it's going to be a really cool way to have all of our stuff in one place. I'm also going to be starting to ask Jenna and Jamie and Aaron to start doing their own little videos whenever they like our theory videos. If you guys ever are interested in doing that, I think you'll get to hear from us more than just once a week. I think it's a good for us to do our own theories and breakouts, whatever we have time for within the regular confines of our job, which already consumes our lives. So, but I just want to get off having more opportunities to do lots of stuff in one place. And look at that. We already got theory vid support in the comments. So we'll have some fun with it. And it's a brave new world we're about to enter on the Phase Zero YouTube channel. I look forward to getting all your support, but we still will be here on Twitch. You want to talk more, hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Brandon David Speedy. Shout out to Peter, who was running the show behind the scenes. Not Richard today. It is Peter, and he did a great job. And he's also the mastermind, madman behind all the new images you've all been complimenting on social media. So great job, Peter. And thanks for watching, everybody. See you next week.